Don't look back because the market is closed. Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Tyler Harris here with you for today's VRA Investing Podcast. Well, today was the much anticipated first FOMC meeting of 2023. And it was a good start for the Fed this year. In a rare showing for Jay Powell, the market actually rallied as he began speaking today. If you've tuned in with us here for a while, you know we've done the work on this. Jay Powell is one of the worst performing Fed chairman ever when in front of a microphone. Every time this guy talks, the market tends to go lower. The absolute worst track record of anyone before him. They'd started doing these monthly pressers. You know, it's more of a modern Fed thing, but still, he's by far the worst. But if you've tuned into some of his pressers for a while, you know, to somebody who doesn't watch it, it really looked like he was trying to jawbone the market lower. Then you start to see the market rallying. You might wonder what's going on here. But that's just who he is. He's a downer. That's who Jay Powell is. And really, it is a fairly dovish speech from him today. And the market could tell, or at the very least, the market's calling his bluff here, because we got a massive rally off of the lows of today and all around strong finish of the day as well. So we've got a great podcast lined up today. We'll cover the Federal Reserve meeting, cover this massive rally we saw in our major indexes, and some good earnings here after the close and what to expect in another round of multi-month highs for our major indexes. So let's jump right in. Again, all eyes today were on this first Fed meeting, and as expected here, really everyone expected this, the Fed was going to raise rates by a quarter basis point, bringing the federal funds rate to a range of 4.5% to 4.75%. But the real question leading up to this meeting was not what the Fed was going to do, but instead it was, what is Jay Powell going to say today? Was he going to step up to the mic, you know, do his Jackson Hole speech from last year, the pain speech that he gave? There's a lot of pain coming our way for what we have to do here. That was the speech he gave that marked the, you know, a short-term top just before that in August of last year. Or was it the end of last year, Jay Powell, where a reporter mistakenly told him that the markets were rallying, and so Jay Powell really ramped up his hawkish tone, sending the market drastically lower on that day. But we got neither of those today. And it really wasn't necessarily for a lack of trying. He kept repeating himself over and over again, as he tends to do. But today, his phrase was, the job is not yet done. He said it probably four or five times today. So, and he kept talking about that they weren't sure about the future pace, all of these things, really trying to be hawkish. But investors latched on to a different phrase today. Well, really a word, and that word was disinflation, which he used multiple times as well. He said it's gratifying to see disinflation underway, and that is when the move higher really began for our markets. That's when the semis, which were positive all day today, went from up 3% to plus 5% quickly after that, all getting back to their highs of the day as soon as he started to talk. So overall, the market viewed that as a confirmation that a soft landing is still in sight here. But yeah, if you've been tuning in with us here, you know we've been saying that for some time. We called the stock market bottom of October 12th. We've been saying that for months. And we've also been saying that we didn't see a recession coming in 2023. It helped a lot when you had just about 100%, not quite, but you know, the vast majority of economists saying, we're going to have a recession, going to have a recession. Everyone at the Fed, we're going to have a recession. In the government, we're going to have a recession. When everyone gets on one side like that, we love to be contrarians. And so far, it's played out pretty well for us here. And we expect it to continue in 2023. Because as you know, we just seen some massively bullish analytics on this year. Now, that doesn't mean we won't get pauses along the way here, but at the end of this year, as we see it, this is the kind of year you get rewarded for risk-taking. You get rewarded for being in this market. And just to recap one more time here, I've talked about it every day this week on the podcast, but we just wrapped up yesterday the bullish trifecta. That's a positive Santa Claus rally, which is the last 5 days of the year into the first 2 days of the next year. We got a positive first 5 days of the year, and now a positive first month of the year as well. When you get a bullish trifecta like this, the market has been higher 100% of the time 1 year later, with average gains of over 29%. And if that's not enough for you, then also know that coming out of a down year is the fourth piece of that puzzle. If you get those three factors after a down year, markets are always higher 1 year later, at least historically always higher. We think that'll be the case this year as well. But I did say leading up to this Fed meeting that we wouldn't have been surprised to see a pause. We got a little one on Monday. Yesterday we didn't, though, and today we really were off to the races. That just shows you the strength of this market, and I have no problem being wrong on that one to the upside, given that we're bullish here. I'll be wrong to the upside anytime. That sounds great. But what got me worked up today, leading up to this meeting, really, was just the lack of awareness from just about anyone in the financial media, whether it was analysts on TV or the reporters asking questions in the room for this presser. I mean, time and time again, you hear these people saying, oh, well, the Fed has done a good job. Their interest rate hikes have made their effect here. The Fed has done it. You know, and they cite good inflation data as their proof, and it's true that inflation data has improved, but they completely miss the mark on why that has happened. And let me key you in here, it's not because of the Fed raising interest rates. Now, I know we have a smart money crowd here, so you already are aware of this, but it bears repeating here because the amount of times that I heard that fallacy today, it's what it is, blatant lie, that the Fed tightening is doing its job, it was just absurd how many times I heard it. Yes, interest rate hikes can curb demand. That's what their primary function really is. So you're punishing the consumer to bring down demand. But it does not address the root problem of what causes inflation. Look in any, maybe not a modern textbook written by Paul Krugman, but look back on previous economic experts. What do they say causes inflation? It's the dilution of money. So interest rate hikes to fight inflation is akin to putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound, is what the Fed has done here. Because the issue wasn't interest rates to begin with. Again, it's the ridiculous amount of money that they printed during coronavirus insanity and after. You know, we used to talk about this a lot on the podcast, but it bears repeating today as well. From February of 2020 to the peak of money printing, M2 money supply rose over 40%. That's 40% new money that was not around just 3 years ago. And don't forget, so that's what caused inflation. Jay Powell likes to come in saying that it wasn't his fault, now he's got the solution for you. Well, Jay Powell, during the midst of coronavirus insanity, actually encouraged the government to spend more. You remember that? Hey, you got more room here to print some more money, give out some more stimulus checks. You have the capacity to do so. That was his advice, right? So this man is an absolute fraud if he does not think that he was responsible, at least in part, for the inflation problem. And that's just a massive amount of money that was printed out of thin air here. And it's exactly what empires of old did when they had gold-based currencies. They would dilute them. Right, that's where the term really comes from of inflation, is diluting gold with other metals in there, diluting silver with other metals in there, and creating more money essentially out of nothing. And when you have more money competing for the same number of goods, prices rise. That is economics 101 about what inflation really is. So now that the money supply has peaked and actually began to fall, we're seeing better inflation data. It has nothing to do with interest rates being hiked. The Fed just so happens to be raising interest rates at the same time. And they know this, but they have to make it look like they're the knight in shining armor coming in to save the day here. That's the Fed's whole MO. And we're watching a masterclass in how to manipulate mass populaces of society. And meetings like today's presser are another masterclass in gaslighting the people who are aware of what the Fed is doing. Because if people haven't figured out that the Fed caused inflation, then they've been manipulated. The people who have figured that out are going to be gaslighted. Because these people who created the problem, allowing this massive money printing, then told you inflation was transitory. First they told you it wouldn't give you a problem. And then it was transitory. And then they had the solution, right? All of that without acknowledging that they're the one causing inflation. Just the ultimate gaslighting. And again, what got me worked up was that no one in the room thinks to ask that question at all. Seriously, how is not a single reporter going to ask the Fed how it got monetary policy so horribly wrong? Let's just conveniently forget here that the Fed absolutely whiffed on inflation, like I just said, saying it wasn't going to happen, then saying it was transitory. And then now, just 1 year ago, Jay Powell projected that the Fed funds rate would be just over 1% by this time of 2023. Look at where we are now. We're at 4.5% to 4.75%. That's a massive miss. Two massive misses that no one has called him out on. They've been dead wrong and not a single question about that topic. It's just an example of the media moving in lockstep here, just like they did with coronavirus insanity, with powerful institutions who own them, right? It's obviously by design. If you're looking at the facts here, if you were objectively looking at the facts, you would think you've been lied to. Let's just put it that way. We're watching really what seems to be a scripted play in real time. But we'll continue to focus on the positives here, right? That's what we do. When everyone else in the world is negative as well, we're contrarian, sometimes to a fault. We love to be positive. We're eternal optimists here at the VRA. I speak for Kip as well, I believe, when I say I know I do. We are optimists here. But if you can read between the lines of what the Fed is really saying, then you can make a lot of money off of by seeing what they're going to do next. So maybe it's even better that people don't understand what's really going on here, although we'd much prefer an authentic environment where everybody knew the rules. Unfortunately, that's just not the case. But overall, not a bad showing today from Jay Powell, and good to see the market calling his bluff here on rates not only staying higher for longer, but potentially more to come, because he did say, you know, they didn't update their projection from December that was they were going to raise a quarter basis point in February and March. They didn't update that. So as of right now, just one more quarter basis point hike on the books. And that could be about it. Frankly, we might not even get that. We'll see what kind of data we get between now and then. But unfortunately, with the Fed, they're going to keep that one close to their chest this time. Also today, though, we got more earnings here. The big name after the close was Meta, which beat big on revenues. Shares soaring after hours. Investors loving it. Meta now up 18.7% in after-hour trading alone. So we'll see what we get tomorrow, as we've got the three biggest of the names coming. We've got Amazon after the close, Apple, and Alphabet. All of those after the close tomorrow, so it's a big day. Stay tuned. We'll be covering it all here. But next up, let's take a look at our market action on the day today. We started off the day lower, and surprisingly, this is, again, rare for Jay Powell. As the Fed minutes came out, that's where things started getting interesting. Our markets rallied after the minutes came out. They fell to new lows of the day. Let's take a step back. When the minutes came out, we got to the highs of the day. Jay Powell gets on stage, we go to the lows of the day. And then, as soon as he started talking about disinflation, that's when the markets were really off to the races. So it was an exciting afternoon of trading. And we finished higher here across the board. We got a little bit of a pullback into the close to finish off the highs of the day. But hey, really strong day today overall. We're led by the NASDAQ, which is just what you want to see. Tech leading the way, up exactly 2% to 11,816. And just what you want to see here, semis leading tech. Semis were positive all day today and hit their highest level since August of last year, up a big 4.7%. And it was also the NASDAQ's highest level since September of last year as well. So good day for tech and the semis. We were followed there by the small caps up 1.57%. That's based off of IWM. Also hitting multi-month highs today. Next up, the S&P. This is a bit ironic because the S&P today was up just over 1% to 4,119. Guess the last time we were at those levels. It just so happened to be another day where Jay Powell was speaking. Unfortunately, that was a very different kind of a day. That's when Jay Powell was in Jackson Hole, where he gave that pain speech I mentioned earlier. Markets were down big across the board and headed lower from there. So almost the exact opposite today. Good to see. And then lastly, the Dow Jones may have finished just flat on the day. It was up 0.02% to 34,092. But given where it was at the lows of the session, today was an absolute win. The Dow rallied over 500 points to get to that level. And just before the close, it was up as much as 700 plus points. So good day all around. And also of note here, the VIX down over 7% to a 17. That's its lowest level. Wow, that's a new 52-week low for the VIX. Anything below 18 is a new 52-week low, and we were at a 17 today. So really good to see VIX. That's its lowest level since the beginning of January last year. So just barely a new 52-week low, but that's the kind of 52-week low you like to see. And then also the dollar down on the day, hitting its lowest level since June of last year. Really, that's the market mocking Jay Powell there, because the 10-year yield was also lower today by 3.74% now to 3.39. And that's just barely above its lowest levels for all of this year so far. So good to see on the day. Perhaps even better to see. Things just keep getting better on this podcast. The internals. Also, rallied off the lows to finish positive across the board here. Advancing stocks beating out declining stocks, nearly 3-1 positive for the NYSE, over 2-1 positive for the NASDAQ. 52-week highs and lows continue to be the bright spot, coming in at a combined nearly 9-1 positive on the day. And lastly, volume coming in over 2-1 positive on the NYSE and over 4-1 positive on the NASDAQ. So good day from our internals. Looking at our sectors, we got 10 out of our 11 S&P 500 sectors higher on the day. We were led by tech, exactly what you want to see. Highest levels from tech since August. We were followed there by consumer discretionary and communication services. Our laggard on the day was energy, oil getting beaten up, energy down 1.89%. And finally for today, our VRA commodity watch. Much like our major indexes, we saw sharp reversal highs from the commodities today. Gold, silver, and the miners all rallying off the lows to finish positive today. Again, with the Fed's current action, this is what you like to see. Gold now up 1.1% to $1,966 an ounce. That's its highest level since April of last year. GDX up even more, 2.25%, nearing a multi-month high there as well. Silver now up 1% to $24.08 an ounce. Copper was down on the day now by 1% to $4.18 a pound. And oil, as I mentioned earlier, down 2.75% now to $76.70 a barrel. Lastly for today, our final risk-on asset here that we love to see. When Bitcoin is rallying, it tells you people are wanting to put money to work. So we want to see this continue. Up big 2.5% now to $23,766 a Bitcoin. Folks, that's all that we have time for here today. Please be sure to subscribe to receive our VRA podcast every day at the market close. You can sign up at VRAinsider.com. Click the podcast link at the top, and we'd love to have you with us. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you back here tomorrow for the close.